Blog Talk Radio.
Professional wrestling career training.
just like with any other real school at that point, they were just more interested in what money I could bring in and what I could bring, you know, to the table fan base wise. And character development just kind of happened, you know, with the Shep. It kind of stuck. And, you know, with Face being the Shep, and of course, you know, there's always those promotions where you get to work heel, or at the time you get to turn heel. And, you know, of course, we've all seen the rise and fall and the non-continuance of pure dominance. And, you know, Mean Mark was part of that, which is also kind of a rib, because I was always touted by one of the vets in the biz that I was the nicest mean guy in the business.
Well, we are also joined by today Deontay Ford. And Deontay, I know you have a background in cooking as well as professional wrestling. Can you tell us how you sort of got into both worlds?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. Good afternoon. I first got into wrestling when I was just a little baby. I was like 2 years old when I got into wrestling. As far as the training aspect of wrestling and being a professional wrestler, I started my training back in 2016 out in Portland, Oregon, where I'm currently living, and I've been living for the last decade. And I got my first start in the business as far as wrestling full-time, well, not full-time, but wrestling in 2019. So I've been wrestling since 2019. I started training in 2016. As far as being a chef and being in the culinary world, I actually got into cooking at a young age. My mom taught me how to cook a little bit when I was like seven, 8 years old, and I learned a few things. And then I kind of, you know, played around with, like, cooking family dinners, breakfast, stuff like that, just small things. And then I started my own little, like, company when I was a teenager, selling baked goods at my church and to just, you know, the community, people that I knew. That transitioned into something in high school where I ended up taking what was like an honors course through the Art Institute of Chicago and taking two of their culinary entry courses, which was intro to baking and pastry and then just a normal introduction to cooking class. And that was during my junior year of high school. And then I took that and went from there and worked in some various catering companies, different little restaurants and things for pretty much the next 17 years. So half my life I've worked in kitchens.
Now, the chef told us that he sort of brought his cooking into wrestling and made that what he does in wrestling as well. You came in pretty close to right off the bat as the king. Do you ever give any thought to doing any cooking-related presentations with what you do in professional wrestling?
It was an idea that was thrown around when I first started. I mean, I've always been the king. I've been that way since probably I was a kid. That was just always my goal, was to be, you know, not be the status quo version of a king that you see in wrestling. There was some ideas with playing around with being a chef and being a cook. And, but nothing really too serious. I mean, if anything, like incorporating wise, maybe just some moves, like, you know, hip-hop culture kind of, like, influenced the, like, there used to be this rapper that was named Little B. He called himself the Bass God, and he used to do, like, this mixing motion, like he was whisking something in the bowl, whipping something up, stirring it up. Like, little things like that that just kind of adds to the character, you know, just little taunts and stuff like that, maybe, but never really thought about pursuing like, a chef character or being a chef.
Fair enough. Now, Chef, one of the things about both being a cook and being a wrestler is that you can get hurt doing both. Obviously, professional wrestling, a combat sport, full contact sport, injuries are part of it. Cooks often get cuts. They can get sliced with a meat cutter. They can get cut with a knife. Back injuries.
Now you're sounding like you're talking about my repertoire.
Yes. But injuries are part of both worlds. What's the most serious injury you've had from each of the two?
Let's see. I was just got through sharpening a meat slicer, a commercial meat slicer, and I was wiping it down, sanitizing it, and I was reaching towards across it to go to the backside to put the guard back on, and when I took my hand across, I took the right my right thumb went right across the blade and took off probably, I would say, just about a quarter of an inch off the corner of my thumb. Another time I was reaching into an oven pulling out some baked goods and put my hand right on top of the upper burner. That's about the extent of my real injuries in the kitchen. Going towards the squared circle, the only real major injury that I can say, knock on wood, in my 20-some years as a professional wrestler, I was wrestling for Moose Morrow down in, I can't remember the name of the little tiny city in Oregon down there, and I was going for the wonton, and my opponent was supposed to roll in. Instead, he rolled out. I turned at the last second to avoid making contact with them, and I came right down on my shoulder. I've had this this lump on my shoulder ever since. Dang it.
Probably not the best thing to have on your shoulder.
No, and it's like right on the collarbone. I went and had x-rays done. They never said it was broke, but it's not the same shape as the other side, and there's this permanent lump there now. It doesn't hurt. It hurt for about, I'd say, maybe 6 weeks, just to rehab it in and get strong again. And since then, it's never been an issue. But knock on wood, I really haven't had too many in-ring injuries that were, not pretty much self-inflicted, because a lot of the times, we miss on something and it's on us, not the person that we're working. But I've been fortunate enough to work across Canada and the Pacific Northwest, and I've worked a lot of individuals, and most, 98% of the individuals I've worked have been, are safe, and I would recommend that they work, anybody can work on them.
Deontay, what about you? I know it's a rough business, both of the professions. What are some of the injuries you had in both of the worlds?
So just like Chef said, in cooking there's been cuts and burns, which, they'll tell you if you work in the kitchen, you have to expect them. I got really good at not trying to get as many cuts and burns, but probably the wasn't so worse, but I've had some weird cuts that happened. The first time I ever got cut with a chef's knife was I had actually just got done sharpening the knife, and I don't know if you know, but you use a sharpening stone, and we had an oil-based stone, and I ended up cleaning the knife, and then I went to wipe it off, wipe the oil off with a paper towel. And I wiped it off with the sharp end of the knife facing towards me, and it ended up slicing through the paper, and it sliced my finger a little bit. Was in a deep cut, but it definitely hurt like hell because it burned. And then I also cut my thumb once. So you know how most buildings have support built into them? There was a support built into the support that was built into the basement where our culinary class was at, when I was second culinary class in high school. There was metal, metal framing around the pillar or around the support post. And I, literally just put my hand around the post, and I moved, and I slid my finger up, and I slid my thumb up, and the metal support, the metal covering the corners of the support support beam actually slipped my finger. So that was interesting. And then, yeah, like burns, like just getting something out of an oven or, you know, touching a hot grill or a hot pan or, you know, getting the grease burn, like some spatter that comes back from when you put something in the hot pan a little bit, but nothing too serious. Restaurant-wise, like chef, I got a weird shoulder thing that happened. I was actually, it was in my second year of training. I was running a training match with another student at the time. And I went to hit an enziguri, and I hit the enziguri, but when I went down, I didn't get my arm extended all the way, and I actually came down on my left shoulder, and I think I, like, popped it out of place, like, dislocated it partially. I actually never got it looked at, so I do have, like, a, not necessarily a bulge or a bump, but it does, it is kind of weirdly, like, out of place, but in place. It just healed on the, like, I don't think it's healed properly, but it's healed on its own. It doesn't give me problems. And then there was one time when I actually was in another, I was in a match, and I came down off of a suplex. Someone gave me a suplex. I ended up coming down on my right shoulder, and it kind of was reminiscent of what happened to the left shoulder, but the right shoulder seems to not be out of place.
Let's keep it that way. Well, Jeff, obviously, from your experience, you are well aware that a lot of times professional wrestling companies will make more in concession stand money than they will ticket money. A lot of promoters count on concessions to actually make the profits. They might break even or lose a little bit at the door, but make that money up in concessions. With your background, have promoters ever relied on you as far as helping run concession stands?
The only time that that was ever discussed was when I personally was, you know, running the promotion here in Washington State. But that was just, you know, promotional business decision to either give it to the building for less expensive rent or to help a group to subsidize their fundraising. But as far as a promoter saying, hey, chef, can you handle concessions here, that's never been a question that's ever been asked of me from a promoter.
Deontay, what about you? Have people ever come to you and, knowing your background, ask for help with the concessions?
So as far as me, no. I mean, I've helped out one time in concessions for a promotion. It was early in my start of my career, and I was just training, so, like, I wasn't familiar with fans, and no one knew my face. It was just to help out because they needed an extra body in the concessions. But I actually worked as a manager in concessions at the Moda Center here in Portland for about 7 months. And I was managing concessions for events. So, I mean, I've done literally WWE shows, concerts, and things of that nature. So somewhat connected to the business in that aspect, but not from a promoter, just from a job standpoint.
Fair enough. Well, Chef, I do have a message for you. Dimitri wants me to say what's up to you, so what's up from Dimitri?
What's up, my son?
All right, well, it's
my favorite ring announcer in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm hugely biased, but mine as well.
Hey, your sexual preference is not at question here.
I don't think I know Dimitri, but I know Stevie Bay Knox.
She's also very good. Well, at this point, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is with us. I know Coach does have some questions as well, so I'm going to pass you right over to the coach with the most.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming on. Appreciate your time. And then how we usually do it is I ask the question, and then did you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We hear you, coach.
I can hear you just fine.
I ask the question, and then sign guy delegates to who answers it. Okay, so but the first one is an email question from the dastardly Darth Carter. Have you guys ever heard of Never Trust a Skinny Cook?
Chef, have you heard that? Because I've heard you say it.
Actually, I have a tattoo on my body that says Never Trust a Skinny Chef.
Okay.
That might be where Coach read it.
Nope.
Deontay, what about you? Have you heard that saying?
It sounds vaguely familiar, Never Trust a Skinny Chef, but, I mean, I know a few skinny chefs that were pretty talented.
Okay, yes, it's probably a stereotype. Nice. Okay. All right, so in your guys' lifetime, what's been your most memorable matches?
Chef, you probably had a few.
Are you naming this when you say... Sorry to cut you off.
That you've been involved with. That you've been involved with.
Okay, that we've been involved with. That's what I was wanting to clarify.
There's a lot. There's been so many. Probably my most favorite, I should say favorite, most memorable was winning the ICW Heavyweight Championship for the first time at Cheney Stadium in front of 2,500 fans. That one was probably my most memorable. My most favorite match was a tag match at that same wrestling show for Moose Morrow down in, God, I wish I could remember the name, in Oregon. That it was a little tiny town, but it was me and Flaw versus Painfully Large, Chuck Payne and Pat Large. Those two were, I mean, I worked a lot of seasoned vets, and these guys were, you know, we were probably all about around the same experience level, and the best match, it flowed, it worked, everybody, I mean, it told the story, and we didn't have to do all that much to get it done, and these two guys, I mean, phenomenal workers, and I would still work either one of them, you know, to this day. You know, they are that good, and they were that good back then.
Oh, yeah, and then hold on, who was the heavyweight championship match against?
That was against some guy up out of Canada.
You don't even remember his name?
No, I do remember his name. I just choose not to use it.
Oh, okay, I see. Yes, I got a hint. Yes, okay, cool. Resume.
I'm picking
Thank
up
you
what you're throwing down, Chef.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Deontay, what about you? I know you've had a lot of great matches. You got a few memorable ones?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have a video catalog, you know, because we're in the age of technology, and so I have a video, like my YouTube page has probably like a majority of my matches I've had throughout my career, but the ones that are very memorable for me as far as sticks out and ones that I definitely tell people about, two of them were with the Oregon Wrestling Club. Where I got my start at. The first match would be an unsanctioned lights out match that I had against TNT Tyson Lee. That was very memorable because it was the first match that I had done like that. That basically was kind of like hardcore. It was a very violent match. It culminated a 5-month feud with Tyson. Tables were used. I jumped off a ladder. There was table salt was used. chairs, walls. We pretty much used like every inch of the gymnasium where we wrestled at to our advantages in that match. And then the second match for Oregon Wrestling Club would be the night that I became the second ever Oregon State Openweight Champion by defeating, then he was known as Tectonic, but now Derek Shaw. Those two are memorable. Those stick out. Then I mean, any one of my matches against Pretty Boy Troy Prescott that I had at DCW, whenever we tend to lock up or link up, we tend to make magic. It's like just one of those guys that you can just, like, go in there and, you know, you can just, you guys can just feed off of each other, you know. So I always have a great time wrestling Pretty Boy Troy. I've had a couple other matches. I wouldn't say super memorable, but they stand out. I've recently been working for a promotion called Anarcho Pro Wrestling, and they've coincided with another promoter that does these events called Metal Mania that's been happening for the last year in Portland. And I've wrestled Doc Cleaver twice at Metal Mania. And anytime I lock up with Doc Cleaver, it's always very memorable. It's always a fun night for sure, because we always go out there and we get the crowd invested and they get involved. And it's just always special. Like me and Doc have a very physical style that we give to the fans, and they hang on to the, you know, everything up until the end of the match when the bell is rung and the victor is, you know, chosen. I do have an 0-3 record against Doc. I will say that I eventually want to get that win back before he retires at some point. But yeah, those will probably be some of the more memorable matches that I've had since my career started 5 years ago.
Right on. Okay, now this next segment is called Favorites. And man, I got a lot of favorites questions. But the first one is, what is your guys' favorite coffee to drink if you drink coffee?
Oh.
Well, yep. Well, I always, on the weekends, I always, every morning, get up, hit the coffee stand at 6 a.m. and order myself a 16-ounce triple shot sugar-free white chocolate mocha with a shot of sugar-free macadamia nut, no whip.
Sweet.
I'm old school. I got a coffee pot. I just go grab some Folgers or some Dunkin' Donuts grounds, and I just make a pot of coffee and give me some French vanilla creamer and a little sugar, and I'm set.
Nice. Okay. And then what's your favorite concert that you've seen?
Can you say that one more time?
What's your favorite concert you've seen?
I'm not sure I'm understanding what the question is.
Like rock concerts.
You're asking if you've been to a concert that was your favorite.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, my favorite concert, I've like I said, I worked as a concessions manager at the Motor Center, so I got to see a few concerts. So I'll give you two, but my favorite concert was the first concert that I ever attended, and that was a year after I was out of high school. It was Kanye West's Glow in the Dark Tour concert. This was right after his mom passed, right prior to his mom passing, he had dropped his third album, which was called Graduation. The tour also featured Rihanna, producer Pharrell, and his production company NERD did some performances. And it also featured Lupe Fiasco, which is another local Chicago artist. So being from Chicago, that was very, like, it was very memorable for me because it was my first concert. Kanye is one of my favorite artists that I grew up listening to throughout high school and my teenage years. And then as far as favorite concerts when I was concessions manager and just going to the Motor Center, I have to say there was a concert that they did that had the Beastie Boys, Salt-N-Pepa, and Journey. Journey was also all in like one concert. It was like a old school like thing. But I was actually working that night, but I got to like watch from the stands and just you know, seeing the nostalgia of these acts and, you know, just the performance that they put on was very inspiring.
Nice.
Jeff, have you seen one?
I've been to quite a few, like, multi-artist concerts. like the Cube 93 up here local in Seattle back when they were the top 40 channel. They would have these concerts during the summer. They would have a summer jam, and then they would have a birthday party with multiple artists. When there was a few, you know, like I think SWV, TLC, MC Hammer, you know, a lot of old school 80s rap. I think Coolio was kind of a disappointment. Color Me Bad was a disappointment. But seeing, I would say, Sir Mix-a-Lot was probably the best one. I mean, he could, even though the venue was small, it was like he was performing for, you know, a stadium-type concert. So I'd give Sir Mix-a-Lot my top bill.
Awesome. Okay. And in your lifetime, what's been your favorite sports teams?
Oh, mine's Miami Dolphins all the way.
Chicago Bears, the Bulls, the Bears. So the Bulls, the Bears. Not the biggest hockey fan, but I like the do love the Blackhawks. So I'm definitely Chicago Bears. Also, Golden State Warriors and the Lakers. I was a big Kobe Bryant fan, so Lakers as well.
Okay. And in your guys' lifetime, who have been your favorite people to work with? And primarily it's wrestling, but it doesn't have to be wrestling. You can give a shout-out to anybody who's great to work with.
Gosh, there's been so many, you know, in my extended wrestling career, great people that I've worked with. But I'd say my number one favorite person was, is Chief Attacullapoola. Not only did he, you know, has he take care of me in the ring, I flew out to go to Waterloo to the Wrestling Hall of Fame out there, and he drove like an hour and a half to come pick me up at the airport, got turned away halfway around, had to turn around, come back to get me. I mean, phenomenal guy inside and outside the ring. I would do anything for that man.
Awesome.
For me, favorite people to work with, as far as from a wrestling standpoint, I enjoy working with everybody. I know that's it would sound like a cop-out answer, but everybody brings a different type of flavor to professional wrestling, you know, so it's good to work with different styles and see how people mesh. I won't say that every match turns out to be great, but because, you know, like we all know, this is in ballet, so, you know, we know there's going to be mistakes, and, you know, sometimes matching styles together takes time. You know, you got to learn how everybody can't work together right off the bat. But I love working with everybody. But, like I said, some of my favorites, my trainer, Cameron Starr, is one of my favorite people to work with, just picking his mind and learning from him. Like I said, I love working with Doc Cleaver. Like I say, TNT Tyson Lee is probably, me and him are going to be linked forever as far as my career goes. My first real feud, first major feud in my career, we've literally wrestled each other probably in every promotion we've ever stepped foot in. Like I said, and working with some of the other guys, like I say, Derek Shaw's, I've worked with some newer talent like Spencer Scott's and Say Perez's of the world, and just seeing a lot of the growth from what's coming out of the school between Oregon and Washington, and there's a bunch of new talent that I'm going to be able to get to work in the future, and just excited for what's to come.
Okay, cool. And then now to stick to the theme of the show, foods, what are your guys' favorite foods? And that's like more than a one-part question, because it's like your favorite foods. Like, for example, I love all fruits and vegetables and pretty much everything except super fishy fish, like squid or something. But it's, you know, I have actual favorites in those groups. So it's like your favorite foods, then your favorite meals to cook, and then also your favorite foods to eat.
Well, since I've had a gastric bypass surgery, my food desires have really leaned. I don't eat much at all. My mainstay are these things called Parmesan crisps. I live off of those. But before I had my surgery, you know, I was more towards the, say, Pacific Island type cooking, including, you know, Filipino, Guamanian, Hawaiian, Polynesian style. That was my main go-to. Now, as far as cooking, you could put, you know, anything in front of me and I'll figure out what I need to do to make it taste good. But I like cooking all types of food. It doesn't matter, you know, as long as people are enjoying it. That's, you know, my main focus is cooking food that people enjoy to eat.
Nice.
Favorite foods? As a kid, pizza, macaroni and cheese, all that stuff. Like, just pizza, macaroni and cheese, fried chicken. Here's the shocking thing. You know, I'm a chef. I am a very picky eater. I'm very particular about what I eat, what I like to eat, because, you know, I've always been that way my whole life. But I've always had a passion for cooking. I know how to mix flavor, you know, meld flavors together, create beautiful dishes and things of that nature. I'm a big steak lover. I'm a big meat and potatoes type of person. So, you know, usually starches, pastas. I love Italian food. I love cooking Italian food. But, yeah, like mashed potatoes, you know, different pastas, different types of steak are usually my favorites. But like Chef said, I love creating, and I love to make people smile with the food that I create. If it's entertaining, you know, I picked up a lot of stuff from watching famous chefs like Bobby Flay and Emeril Lagasse and guys of that nature. And, you know, and I've always had an entertainment aspect to being a chef. But I also believe that food brings people together. So when I can cook and create and it, you know, there's happy faces around the table and people are talking about, you know, the dish I created, and they tell me they can't wait for me to cook again. Those are the things that, you know, brings a lot of happiness.
Amen.
Absolutely. And then now this next segment is called Heroes. Who was your guys' heroes growing up? That includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Well, the person I looked up to growing up as a kid was my uncle. He, after my parents' divorce, you know, I was living with my mom, and my uncle kind of took me underneath his wing and showed me, you know, how, you know, to grow up to be, I don't want to use the old cliche, be a man, but, you know, he showed me how to be a family guy. He told me, you know, it didn't matter that I wasn't his biological child. He loved me and showed me the love and respect as, you know, a father figure would to any child of theirs. And so, you know, he was the man I looked up to the most. Sports-wise, you know, I was a mark for, you know, Buddy Rose and Stan the Man Stasiak and the Flying Dutchman, Dutch Savage. And watching them the way they did wrestling old school, and, you know, it was great looking up to them. And, you know, we emulated them as a child. And, you know, I would take a few things that I watched. I don't want to say learned, because, you know, you don't learn anything until you actually have been, you know, trained professionally. And, you know, use some of that stuff in some of the matches that I've used. And as far as other sports, I'd say Don Shula, great coach, and everybody that he, you know, coached underneath him, Zonka, Bob Greasy, and then you've got Dan Marino, all again, you know, Miami Dolphins, go Vince, Vince up. But, you know, those were the ones that I looked up to, but my uncle was the main individual in my adolescent years that I really looked up to, and I still look up to this day.
Nice.
So, heroes for me, as far as, like, non-realistic hero, I always loved Batman growing up. Batman and RoboCop were pretty cool. So, I did always love Batman, because, like, I liked what Batman stood for, you know, like there's justice to be had, and, you know, he always, you know, he was the world's greatest detective. So, like, some of his approaches weren't always the best as I got older and looked at some of the things that Batman would do, which were pretty crazy. But you know, you got the reasoning behind it. You can understand his perspective and his standpoint. Because at the end of the day, he was always doing what he had to try to make his city a better city and to try to make the world a better place. Even if people didn't always understand his motives and, you know, why he did things. And then my probably biggest inspiration in the world of, like, professional wrestling, or at least the two heroes that got me, you know, that I've tried to incorporate into a little bit of my style and what I do and how I am as a wrestler would be Bret Hart and Sting. Because, you know, Bret Hart, you know, being the excellence of execution and, you know, he would, you know, go and, you know, he was, you know, he was in that vein of Hulk Hogan and John Cena. You know, he'd go and, you know, he'd go out to the crowd for the kids and, you know, give out his shades or, you know, he was just captivating at the time when, you know, they were doing the new generation, you know, right between the Attitude Era and the Golden Era is the new generation of pro wrestling. And, you know, those were the people that, you know, truly, like, sparked my interest into wanting to be a pro wrestler. As, like I say, Sting as well. Sting was always high energy. He's one of the first wrestlers that I've ever went to see live in person and actually watched him wrestle the Great Muta at, like, the old WCW house show in Chicago back in the early 90s, you know, on a cold winter night. You know, I got to see that, and that's a memory that's etched in my head. But, like, just Sting always bringing the energy for what he called his little stingers, and then, you know, growing with him as he became Crow Sting and Joker Sting, and just following all aspects of Sting from the time that I can remember up until his retirement.
Yeah, and then now I was a big fan too, and then I got to see him wrestle Ric Flair in Seattle for a 60-minute Broadway. My goodness, that was amazing. And then, yes, him falling from the rafters and handling the NWO. Okay, and then, hey, guys, what do you guys got coming up?
Well, what I have on my schedule is the new promotion here in Washington State, Inclusion Pro, based out of Kelso, Washington. May 4th, they have their May the 4th be with you forces to be reckoned with. I can't remember the name of the actual show name, but that will be May 4th. I am wrestling on that show down in Kelso, Washington.
Against you?
That has yet to be determined yet. I haven't heard of the card matches set yet.
So for me, I got a few things coming up in the next couple of months. I have next weekend, I have DOA Port Slamdia. DOA is making their debut at the Portland Expo Center. I will be in a 3-on-2 handicap match. It will be me teaming up with Death Threat against Caden Cassidy and Sid Sylum. Then the next night in Independence, I'll be wrestling Sid Sylum 1-on-1 for DOA. The following week, I'll be at the Star Theater on 420 for Metal Mania Dank Side of the Ring. I believe there's a Battle Royal that night that I'm probably going to be making an appearance in. Following that, May 11th will be DOA. May 19th, I believe, is also going to be DOA, which is a Sunday. Both of those will be in Portland. And then May 25th, I have Anarcho Pro Wrestling at the Gigantic Brewery. I'll be going 1-on-1 with the owner of Anarcho Pro Wrestling, Evan Arcanos, which I hate his freaking guts. And I owe him one for the last event because he attacked me for no reason. So, yeah, I'm going to kick his butt. I'm keeping the PG. And then the following night, I'm going to be in Tri-Cities, Washington for Reactivate Pro Wrestling.
Right on. All right, man. Thank you guys for your story, man. I appreciate you and what you guys have contributed to wrestling. And I wish you guys all the luck in the world.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I'm sure Sign Guy's got a little more for you.
Thank you, Coach. I do have one question for you guys. Being you are in the business of cooking and wrestling, Chef, do you ever get wrestlers that come to you for nutritional advice if they're trying to get into shape?
No, not at all. I've never had anybody say, hey, yo, Chef, you know, I need to figure this out. No, no, there are more qualified individuals in this business than me to give dieting advice. You know, if there was anybody I would take advice from, there's probably three individuals that I can think of off the top of my hand. Dave Turner, Christopher Isaac, and let's see, there's the third one here. Those would be my two main guys. If you had any dietary, wanted to know what you needed to do to get to look as good as they do, they would be the ones I'd talk to, not me. I'm going to tell you how to make a ghetto tuna casserole out of macaroni and cheese, some tuna fish, some potato chips, and a can of cream of mushroom soup.
All right. Deontay, what about you? Do you have people that come to you looking for dietary advice?
No, not really. I more so go looking for dietary advice because, like Chef said, I could probably tell you how to make some good stoner food or something. but dietary help is something that I've been actually trying to work on myself, is to get better. I paid attention to in my nutrition class when I was in college, but I was also working overnight, and I would be in school like all day, and I didn't really appreciate listening to the lady talk about flax seeds and, you know, omega-3 fatty acids and things of that nature, even though it definitely would benefit me today.
Jeff, I said at the open, a lot of wrestlers have, over the years, incorporated the restaurant business as either a sideline or a post-wrestling career. Guys like the Bushwhackers, Hulk Hogan, Blackjack Mulligan all had successful restaurants. Do you ever see a day when the chef will open up his own restaurant?
No, As a child growing up in a family that owned a restaurant, yeah, it's not something that I cook because I enjoy to cook. I don't want to cook to profit off of. I mean, it doesn't strike my interest any to be able to open up a restaurant. I don't want people to come to me and come to my house and know that they're going to get, you know, fed, and they're going to get fed well. And just having a restaurant to me just doesn't tickle my fancy any, just to say.
Fair enough. Deontay, what about you? Do you have any plans to eventually open up your own restaurant?
Initially, when I was pursuing being a chef more so full time, I had actual big aspirations of not just owning a restaurant, but, you know, being, you know, a TV chef, maybe being on the Food Network, or, you know, having my own food shows and things of that nature. But like I said, I spent 17 years in the business, like from my junior year of high school up until maybe like a couple of years ago. And I've had a very roller coaster relationship with being a chef, because the ups and downs, the stress of, you know, working in the kitchen all day and, you know, coming home burnt out, smelling like food, and, you know, not, you know, really having a time for a personal life or, you know, to enjoy yourself and just relax. Just, you know, you cook, come home, sleep, wake up, go to the kitchen, you're cooking. So I would say right now, having a restaurant or dreaming of having my own restaurant, it'll probably still be a dream for now, because, like Chef said, I'd rather have people come over and know that they'll be fed well if I'm cooking, whether I'm barbecuing or whatever, I'd rather them know that they're going to be fed and they're going to have a good time, they're going to have a good experience, and we can enjoy each other's company compared to trying to open up a business, get licensing, get staff, and go through ordering and find purchasers and all the things that go into running a successful business. It's a stress and it's a headache and it's a grind, and if you really don't have the passion for it or the drive to go through with the things that you need to go through with, it's not worth it.
Over the last few years, we've seen a few wrestling-themed restaurants open up. People will put wrestling memorabilia in a place. They will have wrestling-themed names for some of the menu items. We've seen a little bit of success with that. Powerbomb Pizza in Chicago had a fairly good run. We've seen Hulk Hogan's Place, basically a wrestling-themed fast food restaurant. I know Chef has wrestled in a few restaurants, and they dabbled in naming menu items after the wrestlers were moved or what have you, so we've seen that. Chef, do you think that the world of cooking and the world of wrestling pulls from such a broad audience that having a wrestling-themed restaurant or even just a wrestling-themed night at a restaurant is a good marketing tool for restaurants, or do you think that the two things should remain separate for the most part?
Just coming from a business standpoint, anything is marketable, anything is gimmicky. You know, if you, you know, like you said, I've wrestled in restaurants that allowed us to do it. I've wrestled in a movie theater just before a WrestleMania, which was a good gimmick. I mean, you know, and I think it would bring in a crowd to that restaurant, wouldn't necessarily go to it on, say, you know, just a random basis at that time, you know. So if it's marketed right, you know, it's not oversaturated market, you know, there's so many variables. But, yeah, I mean, with anything, wrestling, UFC, boxing, you know, any sports-related type of promotion for a restaurant, you know, if it's promoted right, everything, you know, falls into place. It could be a good gimmick thing, but I wouldn't say, you know, just from running wrestling promotion, doing something on a monthly basis, you know, that's a little tough to swallow in a oversaturated market.
Deontay, what about you? Do you think that the two worlds are successfully mixed together, or do you think they should stay kind of separate entities?
For me, I feel like with wrestling and cooking, if you're going to mix the two, like Chef said, you know, gimmicks can work if you know, but it's got to be one of those things where you need to, like, if you're going to do it, stay in your lane. Like you say, Powerbomb Pizza, which was, I believe, was Victoria's pizza place in Chicago, worked because, you know, one, she was a professional wrestler, she's from the city, so it was, you know, you got those two gimmicks there because Chicago's the city that's known for pizza, which is also known for wrestling, but, you know, pizza, then you have a famous wrestler. So, I mean, like, if certain wrestlers do it and, you know, they were, you know, somebody who, you know, may have been over and got that mainstream, you know, those mainstream eyes on them, and, you know, they can turn that into a successful business, sure. I do know that, you know, there are some fans who are food and wrestling enthusiasts, and they can, you know, can be successful in blending the two worlds. You know, I feel that, you know, there's something there, but like Chef said, they should, you know, sorry, Chef, if you didn't say this, like, they, you know, if you have that, like I said, again, if you have that drive and that determination, anything can work. But, you know, I would say don't try to, like, Chef said, don't try to oversaturate it. Don't try to make it too gimmicky. Like, you know, maybe have a couple, you know, names for, you know, like certain items. Like if you have a pizza, you call it the sharpshooter, but it's just a classic pepperoni. That's a nice little twist on it. But people know, like, sharpshooter hits every time. You know what I'm saying? It's going to make you tap out, whatever. Like, that's a good name for a pizza idea. Or maybe if you have a drink and it's called the sharpshooter, and you know it's a, but it's just like an old-fashioned or something, like, but with a twist. You know, it's, you can have certain things for it, but just don't oversaturate it. Don't overdo it. Keep it simple.
Guys, we are down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you both ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything at all you want, shows, merchandise, social medias, your favorite pizza pie joint, anything at all, Chef Floor is yours.
Well, thank you there, Stein Guy. Like I said, May 4th, Inclusion Pro, Kelso, Washington. Come check us out. It's a great new little promotion using workers from the Pacific Northwest, as far as I know, as far as up, as far as the Canadian border, if not using Canadian workers, and as far down as Southern Oregon, as far as I know, these individuals are coming to work here. So take your time. Go out. If Inclusion Pro isn't your cup of tea, there are many individual independent promotions in the Pacific Northwest. And on both sides of the mountains here, you got Relentless and Reaction over in Tri-Cities and in the Spokane area. And there's multiple ones between Everett, Washington, and as far down as I know, down there, Eugene, Oregon also is starting to have a few shows. So take time, go out, support the independent scene, go watch some independent wrestlers. You know, if your friend's a wrestler, buy a ticket, go see him, you know. Let's keep this dream for these individuals alive and come support professional wrestling. Support the independent scene.
Same thing. Basically, Chef just said, you know, like I was going to say, just support independent wrestling. Like, say, yeah, check out Inclusion Pro. I've talked to the ownership over there. There's some nice, solid guys, and I know that they, you know, they have, you know, major goals set for Inclusion Pro, and would love to see them succeed in what they're trying to do. I also have, you know, I have friends that work there and, you know, put on, you know, good shows for those crowds. Like you said, support all independent pro wrestlers. If you have friends that wrestle, go support them. Don't just, you know, don't be one of those people that's like, hey, I'm going to wait till you make it to the WWE or to AEW or, you know, wherever, to your own TV to try to support, and then, you know, expect a free ticket to a show or something like that, because there are people that do that. Like, support now, you know. There's great wrestling in your area. Like you said, in Eugene, you have POW Pro Wrestling. In Portland, you have DOA. BCW still around. You have Prestige that comes through. You have Anarcho Pro Wrestling. You have Metal Mania. In Washington, you got RWA, you got SOS, you got Reactivate, you got Peak Sports, you got Relentless, Inclusion. You know, so there's so much that's going on around you. So if you have the time, and I guarantee you it's affordable, it costs no more than a meal at McDonald's, $20 for a ticket just to get admission, and I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy yourself, and you never know what you're going to see when you go to those shows. You never know what person could be flying in to perform in front of you. You know, sometimes there are big names that come through these shows, and they, you know, wrestle your local superstars. They put on great television pay-per-view quality matches with some of your favorite local talent or local talent that you may have never heard of. Go out there and become a fan of this person, because this person may be the next person that you see on your TV screens. So support independent wrestling. You can follow the Black King, follow Deontay Ford on Facebook at my Deontay King Ford. You can follow me on Instagram at King_Hitman_. Or follow me on X at First King Hitman. I'm on Snapchat. Just look me up.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for being here with us as we celebrate the world of cooks and wrestlers today. Those two worlds can definitely have a lot of similarities in it. And best of luck to both of you. I'm sure we'll be crossing paths fairly soon. Coach, what have you got to say, plug and promote this week?
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones at Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. Then, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. Just had a great show yesterday with Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And then I have Aaron Phillips on the 27th. Excited about that. And thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Love you all.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
Thanks, Tang Guy.
Thanks, Chef. Thank you, everybody. And fans, you can check us out. Get on the social medias. Look up Turnbuckle Turmoil. You will find us. You can find me on there. Chicken Bob on all those social medias as well. Next week, next Friday afternoon, we have our annual Pawcade preview, with Nick Manuel taking the lead this year. And then 1 week from this very day, Alaska's own Mox Rose will be joining us. So make sure you have plans to be with us. We will talk to you soon. Everybody stay safe out there and support your independent pro wrestling.